Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. A strange thing kind of has been happening over the last few weeks for me, and it's this. I believe that some of us are being led, are being called, are being given a second chance this morning. God, do you know, God is a God of second chances. When you think you have blown it too far, God is a God of second chances. And it's true that each of us, we say here once in a while, each of us is only one bad decision away from marital or spiritual or financial ruin. But on the flip side, many of us are on the brink of something incredibly good. I believe you are on the brink of something incredibly good. For you, it might be a job opportunity, or it might be a new friendship, or rekindling an old friendship, a chance to witness to your faith to someone who's been watching you for a long, long time. Or it might even be a big decision that you are on the brink of. But I know this about whatever those are, all of them involve trusting God. Has anybody asked you lately, would you please put your trust in God? And here you are standing at a crossroad on the edge of a promise from God. But in the midst of the craziness of the world, in the midst of the messiness in the church, it's hard to trust God more when there's this pervasive sense of we got it wrong somewhere. You look at the news, you look at online, everywhere you look, something is telling you we got it wrong somewhere and we don't know what to do next. And in the midst of that, I believe we're on the brink. Many of us. That's how it may have been for the people of God. Many of us, we've sold almost 600 books of the story, which is the narrative of Scripture. If you have on your bucket list to read through the Bible, get your hands on the story. It's even an audible on YouTube if you don't have the book. But we have been watching what's happening with the people of God these past few weeks. In God's story, they've gotten past 440 years of slavery in Egypt. They've gotten past 40 years in the wilderness, and they're back to where they were 40 years earlier, taking their first steps into the promised land. Moses is dead. Maybe that's what some of us need to hear. All that's in the past, the leaders that we trusted, whatever. Moses is dead. The older generation is dead, and it's now up to them, this new generation under the leadership of Joshua. In the upper story, this new generation has a fresh opportunity to trust God. In the lower story, Joshua, the new leader, hears God speak, and three times God says to him this, "Be strong and courageous. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And they had crossed the Jordan River. They were camping in Gilgal on the edge of Jericho. In Joshua 5, God's people recommit themselves to the Lord. They turn their backs on Egypt for the last time. You know that 40 years of wandering because of their complaining? How many people did all right on the fast, the 1 week fast from complaining? Are you ready for Novent November? God's people, I think the reason I heard it put really well by an old preacher once. God had gotten the people out of Egypt, but it took another 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. How much is that like us? And that's why in Joshua 5, they committed themselves to the Lord and they turned their backs on Egypt for the last time. And like some of us these last couple months, God has been doing something in the midst of challenges and hardships. And we've made renewed commitments to Christ. We've turned our back on old habits. We've unfollowed things. We've turned our back on venting and on selfish ways. It's like we are in November of 2019. Many of us have entered the promised land and we are on the edge of Jericho. Listen to the story. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. They were scared of them. They had heard what God was doing. No one went out and no one came in. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Listen, is there a place in your life? Is there a place in your heart in which no one goes out and nothing comes in? These Canaanites were afraid, and they were hoping their walls would protect them. The Israelites had to wonder about it too. And like God's people then, you may be facing a giant wall. In Jericho, it was literally a walled city. Walls were very strategic in ancient times. In your life today, the wall that you face that prevents you from living and thriving in God's country may take on any form: addiction, unhealed relationships, fear. Busyness can be a wall, obsession with news or other people's affairs, or simply your goals that don't include God. Some of the most powerful walls are the most subtle ones in our lives. But I have faith to believe that you're on the brink. And the fact that you're here means you're doing something about it. And God has some incredible lessons for us today. So let's look at what happened with Jericho. Joshua hears from the commander of the Lord's army, who says, "As the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Some scholars, theologians, believe this could be one of the pre-incarnations of Jesus. Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Which he may have been sorry for asking when he heard what the message was. But Joshua hears from the commander of the Lord's army, which should be reassuring. God visits Joshua. But the commander's instructions had to leave him wondering. From a military standpoint, the orders that this captain gave were ridiculous. Joshua was to march the people, led by their armed men and seven priests with ram's horns and the Ark of the Covenant, around the city of Jericho once each day for 6 days. They were getting their steps in. No one was to make a sound. Well, that would rule out some of us talkers, wouldn't it? On the seventh day, the commander of the army of the Lord says, "You are to march 7 times around with the priests blowing the ram's horn trumpets, and then have all the people give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up straight in." Really? Yeah. So Joshua calls the priests, and he gets the trumpets and the Ark of the Covenant. Sometimes your next step really is to do something. And Joshua ordered the people to march around the city. Day one, they march. Day two, they did the same thing. Day three, they did the same thing, not making a sound. Day four, all the way. Meanwhile, don't you know that they are looking up at those walls? And they are wondering, are they going to drop boiling oil on us? They are wondering, is there any cracks going on? And the seventh day, they got up at the crack of dawn and they marched around the city 7 times. And then Scripture puts it this way in chapter 6. Joshua commanded the people to shout, "For the Lord had given you this city." And when the trumpet sounded, the people gave a shout, the wall collapsed, and every man charged straight in and they took the city. It's an amazing and, let's face it, miraculous story. Unexplainable. To our scientific Western minds, you can still see, though, exactly where it happened, which is interesting. It was in about 1400 BC, and Jericho, you know, is one of the oldest inhabited cities on the planet, dating back to 7000 BC. At the foot of the Judean Mountains in the Jordan Valley, and it was an oasis at that time. Now, the culture of Jericho was evil. It was pure evil. The worship of Molech was done with statues that they'd heat up with hinges on the arms and child sacrifice. They have found these statues in archaeological sites. The worship of Molech with child sacrifice, and the best that many of the children could hope was to grow up to be temple prostitutes in the worship of Baal, the god of fertility, the goddess Ashtaroth of fertility. It was an incredibly evil culture in ancient times. God had been patient with the people, but the evil only escalated, leading to their destruction. Today, ancient Jericho is identified as the Mount of Tel Sultan. Tel Sultan, tel meaning a hill on which layers of civilizations are built. Ironically, the six people from our church who are on this Israel trip, they are visiting Jericho today. You can still see it. They are at Tel Sultan. It has been excavated over the last 120 years, and in the late 1980s, archaeologists found, according to Time magazine, when we compare the archaeological evidence at Jericho with the biblical narrative describing the Israelite destruction of Jericho, we find quite remarkable agreement, Dr. Bryant G. Wood at the University of Toronto says. What they found was pottery from 1400 BC untouched, jars of grain left full, and ancient crumbled walls as though an earthquake had destroyed them. All of these findings correlate with this biblical narrative. But like I told the kids last week, when you listen to a message, you say, so what, and now what? So what? You know, for many of us, we don't have yet that faith. For us today, the walls holding us back from the promises of God may feel just as ancient, may feel just as imposing. But as Christians, we believe God does give strength. God gives strength, and God gives courage. It's sort of like what my grandma Hook, my praying grandma, said. She said, in all my 90 years, either God's made me strong enough to get through what I faced, or God put someone in my way to get me through, to give me courage. God destroys obstacles. God gives strength. God gives courage. And it's done through Jesus Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. Have you said, Holy Spirit, come in? And through Jesus Christ, God destroys the obstacle of death itself. Here's what you need to understand. The battle for Jericho was really a spiritual battle. There was no sword drawn. And it would be won by faith in God's power and grace. It is the same today. If you feel like you're in the midst of a battle, if you feel like you are ready to clench your fists, to grab whatever it is you need to grab, you need to know that the battle is a spiritual one, and it is won by faith in God's power and grace. It's the same today. The attack on Jericho's walls required prayer and faith in God's upper story, that the upper story is not broken. The lower story of our lives are broken all over the place. But God's upper story is not. Every day, God's people received their marching orders. They didn't get up. They didn't get them in advance. They got them daily. Get up, march around the wall. Next day, get up, march around the wall. Be quiet about it. Then on the seventh day, get up, march around the wall, then shout and blow the trumpets and take the city. You know, it's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't say, Lord, give me a week's supply and I'll see you in a week. Daily, we're to begin our day like that. Daily, God tested their faith. Marching again, in silence except for the seven trumpets. What does this prove? What's Joshua waiting for? What if they come over the walls and attack us? It really is a daily walk with the Lord. And we're to encourage each other daily while it is still called today, lest our hearts become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 3, each morning, this is kind of the so what, now what, each morning, waking up to say, Lord, I'm walking with you today. Jesus, I'm walking with you today. Holy Spirit, I am walking with you today. This is the day you have made. I'm just going to rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever challenges we face them together, Lord. Then, even on the seventh day, after marching seven times around, there were no cracks in the wall. Talk about feeling like a dope. Have you ever really, truly handed yourself over to God like that? Faced your wall, even without seeing results? Or when you don't see results after a little bit, you stop. You know, we're so brainwashed for an instantaneous life, instantaneous everything. We never need prayer. We never need faith because we just quit and we move on. And we miss out. Are you attempting anything beyond what you know you can do? That's when God's going to show up. That's when you make room for God. When you attempt something that will fail apart from God. Are you attempting anything that requires prayer and faith? You know, for some, it's improving a relationship with your daughter, or sharing Christ with a grandchild, or applying again for another job opening, or overcoming a destructive habit, or just being with God in prayer. Do you know, my prayer life at 53 changed majorly about a year and a half ago. I knew about this, but I simply invited God's Holy Spirit in. And I simply started saying, God, I'm just going to be with you. Like when I'm like, I really need to pray about this. I used to ask God for stuff, and that was kind of the bulk of my prayer. Then I listened to the devotions, and you're supposed to listen. No, prayer is a two-way conversation, right? So you listen. So I was kind of listening and listening and including that in my between my requests. But about a year and a half ago, I realized I just need to stop when it comes to prayer. And I just need to say, Jesus, hold me. Be with me. Let me just be with you. Let's be here together. And it has changed majorly how I can hear other people, how I can face walls, how I can not totally stress out and lose whatever peace God gives me, how I can face when things don't work the way that I want them to. It has made all the difference. And I commend it to you just because I'm learning more about it myself. Here's the thing that we learned, though. The Israelites didn't get to use their battle prowess. There were no battering rams. There were no siege ramps. There was no scaling of ladders. There were no bows, no arrows, no spears. Notice that supernatural commander promised Joshua supernatural destruction of Jericho. In other words, so conventional weapons are unnecessary. That may be the case in the walls and in the wars that you find yourself in. Conventional weapons are unnecessary. You know, it reminds me of Paul's words to the Christ followers in Corinth after the time of Jesus. He wrote this. In 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wait a minute. I've got all these battles out there, right? But Paul says we're to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It almost sounds like you're saying that the battle is first in me. The walls are in me. They're in my mind, in my thoughts, my spirit, my soul, my strength. Yes. It's as though we're going for no vent. November. Why? Because it's all a battle that has begun in me. A fast from complaining, ending in a feast of thanksgiving. These Israelites did not get to use their talents and their skills that they learned wandering in the desert, except for one. The only skill they learned from that hard living was this one, walking by faith in God. Are you in God? Are you in Christ? Are you in His grace? Or are you battling against it? God sent a message to His people. These ram horns that God instructed them to carry, they weren't the trumpets. Trumpets, you know, in the olden days before radio and everything else, was how armies communicated with each other. But God didn't say, bring trumpets to this wall, to this city, to this enemy. He said, bring ram's horns. You know what the ram's horns were used for? The shofar? They were used for calling people to worship, not to war. Do you see it? The seven-day delay in the victory was designed to allow God not to overcome the Jericho people, the Canaanites, but the seven-day delay in victory was designed to allow God to overcome the Israelites as well as the Canaanites. The real battle of Jericho was not with the Canaanites, but with the Israelites, with them, not with the wall of a city, but with the walls that we place up all over our hearts, with human stories. What battles are you facing that you have yet to place in God's hands? Have you never asked the Holy Spirit to enter into you? You know, Jericho is that place where nobody goes in and nobody goes out. God's not only out there, He is in here, in the deepest, darkest parts of our hearts when we invite Him in to receive Him. This week, in all the battles, in all the challenges, in all the walls, and all the facings, and all the miscommunication that you go up against, when your back is up against the wall, when you're the one up against the wall, allow God first to conquer you. This week, 7 days, like the people of Jericho, every morning, take a few moments to just be with God. This week, pray for your city. Pray for your home to be won by Christ. Pray circles around your family like the Israelites. This week, surround your city. Walk in obedience. Drop some stuff that take you away from the worship of God. And capture every thought for Christ. When you go somewhere, when your mind goes somewhere, is it an opportunity for you to say, God, you take this. The battle has been won, and this belongs to you now, not to me anymore. And finally, the last thing that I would say for you this week to take very seriously is to walk in God's company. I know I would be dead apart from walking in God's company. Thanks to my parents, thanks to my older siblings, my younger sister, the friends that God has brought in, because I got plugged into a youth group. I'm still in touch with some of those people. Nobody from my baseball team am I in touch with growing up. But the youth group kids, there's a spiritual momentum when you share this grace, when you share this level, this love of Christ. Walk with God's people. In other words, join a Bible study or a class or a group. You want to know when I see the biggest transformations? It's not necessarily when someone comes to be baptized. Usually they come to be baptized because they have joined a group and they're like, this is awesome. Or, wow, I am learning so much about myself or about life or about God. The biggest difference I've seen is when they join in intentional community with a group beyond Sunday mornings, when they start a group of others walking with them, doing life together, grabbing lunch, grabbing dinner, checking in, serving each other. Somewhere this week, do it by faith in God. And imagine if we do this together, what walls could be torn down in this world as we too claim God's promise today. Here's the thing though. Joshua didn't wait. God said, the time is now. Do it now. Call me if you don't know what your next step is. We have men's group, we have women's groups, we have Bible studies, we have Sunday school classes of all ages, including 20-somethings. Do it now. Like Joshua, you've been here before. You've been here before and made a sharp left. The Holy Spirit is showing you again. This is an urgent moment. And church, we're on the brink of something amazing. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I thank you so much for your coming to us. We did not have to go off seeking you. And Lord, there's some of us here who have been here before, even on the brink of something amazing. Lord, I pray that we would get on the other side of awkward, that we would get on the other side of skittish, that we would get on the other side of dullness in our minds, in our spirits. Lord, some of us are just staring at a wall, wishing it would fall down, not realizing you are with us on the outside. And you're inviting us to walk with you. Lord, some of us, the wall might be simple faith in you that we've never put our trust there. In what you have done and how you have conquered even death. Because of Jesus on the cross, through his resurrection, we are raised to new life. Lord, if there are those among us here, God, we simply confess that to you, our unbelief. And we offer ourselves to you. God, some of us have held off. We offer our families to you. We offer you to be the master of our clock, whether we fall behind or spring ahead. God, thank you that you first dealt with the Israelites before they tackled anything. And God, we need you. Thank you for your love, for your time, for your sacrifice, for taking our sins from us. Lord, we want to be fully yours, in the city, out of the city, wherever you take us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.